This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
Calling House local government to order. Want to greet our internet listeners. Remind everybody to please silence their cell phones. And we'll get started with the business at hand. The secretary may call the roll.
Thank you. Representatives
here.
Bruner?
Oh, sorry.
Bruner.
Here.
Craig.
Here.
Greenfield.
Here.
Hawks.
Hi,
here. Heineman.
Here.
Marty.
Here.
Quam.
Yamasha.
Rosam.
Here.
Shane Fish.
Here.
Soli.
Here.
Tulson.
I am here.
Otten.
Here.
Consett.
Here.
13 of 13, a quorum.
We have a quorum. At this point, the chair will entertain a motion for approval of the minutes.
So moved.
Been moved by Representative Quam, seconded by a slew of other people, but we'll give it to Representative Craig. Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The minutes are approved. We're going to open up our testimony today on House Bill 1071. An act to revise certain provisions regarding the annual conference between county commissioners and the director of equalization. I will take proponent testimony on House Bill 1071.
Madam Chair, thank you. And thank you, committee, for hearing the proponent testimony to 1071. It's very simple. We're deleting the word Tuesday. Madam Chair, sorry. I'm Alex Jensen, representing District 12 here, and speaking for the bill. Thank you, Representative. We're deleting Tuesday and changing and adding meeting instead, because many counties meet on different days, and this will allow them to decide for themselves. I'll stick around for questions. Thanks.
Thank you, Representative. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1071. Proponent, welcome.
Green light. Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Lauren Pankratz, registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Association of County Commissioners. The only thing I can add to Representative Jensen's testimony, besides thanking him for bringing this forward on our behalf, is that the county in particular that made this request is Spink County, because they don't meet that day. But there are other counties throughout the state that have different days for their meetings. They still have to have the meeting with their Board of Equalization, but it's at the first meeting. So it's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. Be available for questions. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1071. Seeing no further proponent testimony on House Bill 1071, we will go to opponent testimony. Opponent testimony on House Bill 1071. We'll waive the rebuttal since there is no opponent testimony. At this time, I'll open it up for committee questions. Seeing none, the chair now closes the public hearing session on House Bill 1071.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move do pass.
Second.
It's been moved by Representative Tulson, seconded by Representative Hawks. We'll go with that. Any comments, sir?
Thank you for bringing this bill. It's a good bill. Thank you, Representative.
Any further comments of the committee? The motion in hand in front of us is do pass on House Bill 1071. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. The secretary will please call the roll.
Representatives Bruner.
Aye.
Craig.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hawks.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Marty.
Aye.
Quam.
Aye.
Rosam.
Aye.
Shane Fish.
Aye.
Soli.
Aye.
Tulson.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
13, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair.
I move consent.
Second.
It's been moved by Representative 13-0. Do pass. Representative Greenfield, would you wish to entertain that again?
Yes, Madam Chair, I move consent.
Second.
The motion at hand is move consent on House Bill 10. I turned my page. On 1071. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. House Bill 1071 has been moved consent. We will go ahead and move forward with our next bill. We are going to entertain House Bill 1087, an act to repeal the requirement of certain public election notices. Proponent testimony on House Bill 1087. He comes from behind the desk.
Good morning, Madam Chair, Committee. I'm Representative Tom Bruner, District 29. I sit over there usually. Most of you guys can't see me, but now you can. I bring you House Bill 1087. This morning, it repeals the requirement of certain public election notice enacted in 2007. The language in this section requires any political subdivision to notify the Secretary of State that a date and time has been set for conducting an election. This notification can be written in writing, by phone, or by email. There's no useful purpose for this information, no requirement that anything be done with it, no way of tracking whether the notification has been made, and no enforcement. So we would request that this section be repealed.
Thank you, Representative. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1087. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chairman and members of the committee. Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League. We further believe there is just really no reason to have this section of law, no enforcing it, nothing to do with it. I would also say that we have an excellent working relationship with the Secretary of State's office. We're in contact with them probably almost daily, and during election season, more than daily. We jointly put on election schools for our members. Our members feel very free to call the Secretary of State's office for information and education purposes, and so the communication lines are wide open between local governments and the Secretary of State's office, and so I think that's just a further reason that this kind of thing isn't necessary. Thank you.
Thank you for the proponent testimony on House Bill 1087. Welcome, Madam Secretary.
Well, good morning, Chantel Krebs, Secretary of State, and I could just say ditto and thank you. I should say publicly thank you for that comment. But in all reality, this was implemented and passed in 2011. And to be honest with you, a lot of our political subdivisions and local jurisdictions didn't even know they were supposed to be doing this. So a lot of them are like, I'm in violation of a state statute. And whether it had been the prior administration maybe not communicating that or whatnot, this includes everything down to a sanitary district, a water development district, whatever it may be, because when you talk about a political subdivision, there's a lot of local elections that do occur on these small levels that haven't been notifying our office. However, as the previous proponent stated, we do communicate with every single one of those political subdivisions when they have an upcoming election. We are more than happy to post it on our website. Some of them do call in and tell us, hey, we're having that election. It's on this date. Go ahead and we'll post it under upcoming elections for those that don't. But again, an example would be the sanitary district election in Beadle County. I mean, those are the kinds of things we are walking through those jurisdictions and how to proceed and what they have to post and the notifications and who votes and getting them the lists and everything they need. It's just the process that they didn't realize they had to notify us. So, Madam Chair, we feel it's just something that's unnecessary, and we are doing this via just regular communication.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1087. Seeing none at this point, we will hear opponent testimony on House Bill 1087. Opponent testimony, House Bill 1087. Seeing that there's no opposition, we will go ahead and waive the rebuttal, and I'll open this up to committee questions. Quiet bunch today. The chair now closes the public hearing portion on House Bill 1087 and opens it up for committee discussion and or action.
Madam Chair.
Representative.
I move to pass.
Second.
It's been moved by Representative
Soley.
Oh, Soley. Okay, sorry. And seconded by Representative Hawks. You're on a roll. So the motion we have at hand is do pass on House Bill 1087. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will please call the roll.
Representatives Bruner.
Aye.
Craig.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hawks.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Marty.
Aye.
Quam.
Aye.
Rosem.
Aye.
Shane Fish.
Aye.
Soley.
Aye.
Tulson.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
13 aye, 0 nay.
Having received Senate Bill 1087, having received a majority of the elected, passes.
Madam Chair,
Representative Soley.
Yes.
Move consent,
yes.
And she's seconded by Representative Hawks. Right. I'll look at you first next time. Next time. Any comments? Representative Soley, Hawks, any comments?
I think we heard some great testimony, and but I don't see that we need to do anything other than consent.
Thank you, Representative. As of right now, we have a motion to consent for House Bill 1087. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. House Bill 1087 has moved consent. We'll now open the hearing on House Bill 1089. Proponent testimony for House Bill 1089.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee, Representative Kyle Shanefish from District 19. HB 1089 deals with several funds relating to municipal government. It changes some caps put on for some enterprise funds and capital project funds. Right now, the city general fund, you know, there's not a limit on how much money can be in there. And, of course, the general fund can be used for any purpose. The enterprise funds and capital outlay funds are more specific. And right now, there's a cap based on how much valuation a city is able to have and draw from. And it's kind of an arbitrary amount. It's not necessarily that logical on why there's a specific limit there. You know, when you have the general fund, you can spend that money for any purposes, and there's line items on the budget such as, you know, police, fire department, streets, whereas a capital project, it's more for a specific purpose such as purchasing land or having buildings. And when someone reads the annual report or looks at the funds for a city, if they see it's a capital project fund, they'll know that money can only be spent there, and it's more transparent for the taxpayer. I think it's a good deal for the municipality as well as the taxpayers, and I ask for your support on it. Thank you. And I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you, Representative. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1089.
Good morning, Madam Chairman and members of the committee. Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League. We did ask Representative Shane Fish to bring this bill forward for us. Right now, as he explained, we aren't like other entities who have special levies for special funds. We don't have a capital outlay levy or things like that. We have a levy, a property tax levy. That money comes in, we put it in the general fund, and then we can divide it out and point it towards things. But we can also, if we wanted to, say we need a new snowplow. So we want to save up money for that snowplow. We can do that in the general fund, and there are no caps on it. We think by making these funds more useful, it allows us to direct the funding more specifically to things, which makes it more transparent to the taxpayer what we're doing with the funding. And it also makes them more useful because the caps are artificially low. For $125,000, you're not going to get a snowplow or most anything else. So we would like to have them set locally to match what is actually needed in each municipality for each item, and would appreciate your support of the bill and would be happy to stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1089. Proponent testimony, seeing none, we will go into the opponent testimony on House Bill 1089. Seeing none, we will waive the rebuttal at this time. I would open it up for committee's questions. Representative Otten.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A question for Ms. Taylor. I support the bill, but I do have a question. We're striking the caps, and then we're establishing language that says the governing body shall establish a maximum amount allowed to be accumulated in the fund. Is there a reason why we're even adding that? I mean, because a municipality could set that number as high as they want.
Madam Chairman, I guess pragmatism. We thought the legislature would prefer that there was some check on it.
For the questions of the committee, Representative Heineman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This may expose my ignorance of the process, but the question I have would be to going to reserve funds. How you measure the reserve at the end of the year, you get audited, et cetera. I'm sure you can cover that for us. Do you understand my question? Is there going to be a potential problem in the future of questioning what reserves are in a municipality?
Madam Chairman, it is my understanding that currently we have on the general fund no caps on reserves. And we don't really specifically have reserve funds other than these enterprise funds that we're talking about here and the capital outlay funds that we're checking here. It is also my understanding that that is not one of the things that anybody checks to see what reserves are there. And because there's no cap on them, there's really no reason to say you can only have so much. I would say that we are capped because of the property tax caps. And so there is a limit on what's going to be able to grow anywhere.
Further questions of the committee on House Bill 1089? Seeing none, the chair now closes the public hearing on House Bill 1089 and opens it up for committee discussion and or action.
Madam Chair.
Representative Otten.
Move to pass.
That's it. It's been moved to pass by Representative Otten, seconded by Representative Marty. Man under pressure, yes. Discussion.
Madam Chair, I served plenty of years in city government, and I'd be honest with you, I was completely unaware that there was caps on these to begin with. I remember my community had ordinances in place to put away a certain amount of money every year for water and sewer projects, and frankly, I'm dumbfounded that this was even there.
Further discussion? Seeing no further discussion, the question at hand is do pass on House Bill 1089. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Representatives Bruner.
Aye.
Craig.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hawks.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Marty.
Aye.
Quam.
Aye.
Rosem.
Aye.
Shanefish.
Aye.
Soli.
Aye.
Tulson.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
13 yea. Zero nay.
Thank you. House Bill 1089, having received a majority of the vote, moves out, do pass. It's been moved by Representative Otten, seconded by Representative Hawks, that House Bill 1089 be moved consent. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. House Bill 1089 will be moved consent. We will go ahead and move forward and open public testimony on House Bill 1092, an act to revise requirements for local permits for the sale and consumption of alcoholic beverages on certain property abutting licensed establishments. It's quite a mouthful. Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mark Willardson, representative from District 11, which is Western Sioux Falls. If I might add, Madam Chair, you do a wonderful job running the committee. It's very crisp and clean and quick. I like it.
That will not get your bill on consent.
Well, it's Yvonne Taylor Day today. So I'm proud to bring you House Bill 1092. So, Mr. Chair, with your consent, I'm passing out an amendment, and I would appreciate the latitude to speak to both the amendment and the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair. When we wrote this bill, it seemed like a really good idea to include parking spaces. And then as we talked to the powers that be, we found out that wasn't such a really good idea. And so the amendment that you have before you strikes out parking places in all the appropriate places on the bill. So House Bill 1092, what it does do, a while back the legislature passed legislation which would permit a restaurant or a cafe to open up on the sidewalk on really nice days so that their customers could sit outside and enjoy a little sarsaparilla with their meal. With this bill, we're just opening that up just a tad bit more because we had the restriction on there that the license holder could only drive more than 50% of its gross receipts from prepared food in order to have this option available to them. Well, since then, we've had several establishments which don't quite meet the 50% rule that would like to be able to participate in these activities, you know, for various events that go on around the state. And so we thought it would be prudent to, you know, go ahead and offer them this opportunity also. With that, I know there's other proponents that want to testify. I don't want to steal all of her thunder, so I will step down and stand by for questions. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Does anybody want to move the motion or the amendment? We should take action on that.
Mr. Chair.
Before we move on to that.
Second.
Any discussion on that motion?
Well, it seems logical if they made a mistake and decide not to have it there, we should just get rid of it.
All right, we have a motion to move amendment.
Mr. Chair?
Yes,
Representative. I don't know if I'm out of order. I would just like an explanation why parking spots were taken out before we vote on the amendment.
Sure.
Mr. Chair? Okay, thank you for the question, Representative. Initially, you know, we thought that it would be a good idea to open up, you know, parking spaces also so that, for example, during a parade, that the patron might be able to, you know, stand along the side of the street or in the parking space and consume that beverage. However, law enforcement had pointed out to us that that wasn't such a good idea. And so we agreed with them and their explanation after that. And so we agreed to put the amendment on so that Representative Marty might be able to make the consent motion. Okay, maybe not. Thank you. Does that answer your question?
Yes. I don't know the legal terms as far as what they told you, but... it appears like it could have been a good idea, but to leave it in. But thank you,
Mr. Chair. Well, we thought so initially, and so that's why it was in there. But then it turns out that's not much the case. Maybe the following proponent speaker, you know, would choose to address that more.
Madam Chair, could I ask a question? thank you. Along that line, Representative, what about as representative, former representative mentioned, can it be roped off, like during a parade, the parking space roped off so that the establishment assumes the liability? Because many, many times during a small town parade, there are picnic tables that are pulled out into sections of the street in front of the existing establishments.
Mr. Chair, thank you. That was part of the original purpose for having, you know, that included in the bill. But with some of the statutes as far as public property, which the street is, you know, from that part, we just determined that it's probably not a good idea. We should probably keep it on the patron's side of the property and go from there. So, but thank you for the question.
I guess my question would be, though, if the patron is roping off that section and assuming the liability, would this be an incorrect thing for the person to do, for the owner, not the patron? But.
Mr. Chair, I'm not an attorney. And so I'm not good at translating, you know, that mm-hmm. portion of the law. My understanding was that just because the patron or the owner would rope off part of the public property, that that would not give them the privilege, you know, that we were looking for on there. There were some complications, you know, with that particular area of it. So. At this point, I think it's best to proceed with the bill without the parking spaces included on there. Thank you.
Do you have any more discussion on the amendment at hand? Seeing none, I will ask for a voice vote on Amendment 1092YA. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
No.
Motion carried. Okay, well now we will continue taking proponent testimony on House Bill 1092 as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League. We did request this bill to be brought forward, and originally we are the entity that asked for the original legislation to be brought forward back in 2008. And we have been using the sidewalk sales statute ever since. If you've ever been to one of the downtowns where this is going on, it's great fun. They're very vibrant and alive, and it's an exciting place to be, and it really adds a lot to a community to be able to do this sort of thing. The food requirement was something that we did not request when the bill was originally passed, but this was a new thing. People were uncomfortable with it, didn't know how it was going to go. Turned out it went just fine, and there's really no difference between sitting outside with a hamburger and a beer or sitting outside with a beer. Right now you can do both at one establishment, but the next establishment right next door with the same kind of license can't do it. And so it's really kind of a fairness thing. So we do ask for your support of the bill. We ask for your support of the amendment also, and if I could clarify maybe a little bit on some of the questions I was hearing. Liquor licenses are granted to places based on their legal premises. And so if you are a bar and you've got a parking lot and that's part of the legally licensed premises, you can do whatever you want in your parking lot. You can sell and serve in your parking lot. The problem with the parking lots the way we had it in this original bill is that what we were envisioning was those parking spaces that might be on the street in front of a bar with an intervening sidewalk that just might not be wide enough to do this kind of thing. The problem with that is that that parking space is not part of the legally licensed premises. And it is part of a right-of-way, but we don't know who owns the right-of-way always with a street. Could be the state, could be a federal aid highway, could be just the city, could be a county road going through town. And so the jurisdiction on the actual street in front of a place is maybe a little iffier. The sidewalk is almost always just going to be a municipal thing. And so it drew unnecessary complication. We don't have a tremendous amount of clamoring for the parking space provision right now, and there may be a point in the future when we come back with a bill to specifically address that. I'd be happy to stand by for questions.
Okay, do we have any other proponent testimony?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Jim Hood. I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Retailers Association. And we support this this legislation being brought forth by the Municipal League. We think it may give our small retailers in these towns maybe another avenue and opportunity to grow their business, those retailers that are in this business. And we would ask for your support.
Thank you. Any other proponent testimony? Do we have any other proponent testimony on House Bill 1092 as amended? If not, we'll move on to opponent testimony. Do we have any opponent testimony? Do we have any opponent testimony on House Bill 1092 amended? Seeing none, we'll waive the rebuttal and we'll move into committee's questions or action. Representative Heineman.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, Yvonne Taylor, could I ask you a question, please? Mr. Chairman, if I may, please refresh my memory. When we introduced this, you said it was 2 years ago? It was longer than that.
Mr. Chairman, it was in 2008.
Oh, okay. So I didn't vote on this. Please tell the committee why there was an insistence that facilities that have a liquor and liquor license that serve no food were excluded. Why was the addition of the 50% gross receipts there? Could you refresh our memory, please?
Mr. Chairman, and I did go back in the notes and try to find an answer to that. I vaguely remember the debate. I think it was just trying to make it as narrow as possible while allowing maybe something to start happening because people just weren't comfortable with it yet. We hadn't had it in South Dakota before legally. We hadn't seen it, and I think they just wanted to have that restaurant connection to it. But I think if you look at those licenses, whether you're a bar or a restaurant, if you have an on-sale liquor license, you've paid the same amount of money. You have the exact same licenses, and it's just now a matter of whether you can use them or not. It's also very difficult, and one of the reasons we didn't want that provision to begin with is without going and digging around through their bookkeeping system, we don't really have a way to know what the gross receipts from the sale of food is. And so we just really think this clarifies it, makes it easier for everybody to use, and makes it fair that the same license gets the same privileges.
Any other questions to the committee? Representative Tolson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The question I have is, so if you have a liquor license and then if you'd like to bring picnic tables into the parking space, but you're not serving alcohol there, that doesn't, you can still do that. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, I think if the entity that controls the street, if we're talking about a street, not a parking lot, the entity that controls the street allows that, You could probably do it. It's the sale and service of alcohol that involves these statutes.
Thank you.
Representative Soley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question is of Ms. Taylor, and it actually was the same of Representative Heineman's, wondering what the concerns were, and if I'm correct, you're saying you're not sure. Somebody wasn't comfortable with something. Were there opponents at that time?
Mr. Chairman?
If I can, may?
I believe by the time, and I would need to go back and double check, but I believe by the time we finished amending it, everybody was fine.
Okay. A follow up then. as I wonder about situations, a parade would be a good one, where you've got all your bars open and everybody's on the streets and so on. Have you talked with law enforcement about this, and are there concerns that you've heard?
Mr. Chairman. I have not heard any concerns, and if you look at the bill, the provisions that say nothing in this section prevents the governing body from imposing conditions or restrictions, you're not allowed now with one of the facilities that can do this right now to stand out on the street and consume a beverage because you're off the licensed premises. You're off the area, and so law enforcement would come by and tell you to stop it and do whatever enforcement action they needed to because you wouldn't be allowed to do that now.
Thank you.
Representative Bruner.
Question of Ms. Taylor. Vaughn, if you drew the analogy that it's really no different sitting at a table consuming a hamburger and a beer versus just a beer, but what I see happening, and a lot of the question that was just brought up was the idea of parades and things like that, and suddenly we're not sitting, we've got a bunch of people standing on the sidewalk drinking beer or whatever else they're serving. Is that your intention to change it so that that's good?
Mr. Chairman?
Uh-huh.
The only difference would be that all of the licensed facilities, to the extent that was permitted by the governing body and the ordinance that was put in place governing that, would be treated the same.
Any other questions? Seeing none, I will move into committee action.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Kozet.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move to pass on House Bill 1092. As amended.
And I have a first, or I have a second. I have a first from Representative Kozet, a second by Representative Rosem on House Bill 1092 as amended. Do we have any comments on that?
No, sir.
Representative Heineman?
Yes. Members of the committee, certainly, if I would have done some homework, I guess I could have gotten some of those questions answered beforehand. But I initially do not like the idea of what the representative from the northern part of the state brought up, Butte, I believe, county, because that's what I see happening. We actually had this happen in Flandreau in that. There was a restaurant that wanted to have picnic tables outside. So the process, in some ways, I feel, does protect that. It works. You have to change your city ordinance to allow that. The testimony indicates that everyone has to be treated correctly. But that is a concern that I have. So that's why I think the 50% was put in there to prevent exactly what you were talking about. But after further testimony, I could see it's difficult to enforce. I wish there was a better way because I, too, have that concern of a parade with someone, everyone in front of bars. But I will support this, but with some reservations. Thank you.
Representative Tona?
Thank
Rosa,
you.
Rosa, I should say. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a comment because I spent 9 years on city council on Mitchell, and I know where the 50% law came there. In this situation, we're giving the if I'm understanding correctly, we're giving the municipalities the ability to treat all licenses fairly. That doesn't mean that they have to. And in Mitchell, what happened, and this goes back to 1986 probably, when businesses wanted to serve on Sunday, and the law was implemented that, yes, you can if 50% of your revenue is coming from, more than 50% is coming from food. So you could go out for dinner and have a glass of wine if you so chose. That's where it came from in our area. And I wouldn't be surprised to see if maybe the Sunday liquor law would be where some of that came from. But I think this gives the municipalities the ability to make the decision about what's right in their community.
Representative Soley.
Well, I thank you, Mr. Chair. I, too, am not real comfortable with this, and knowing that municipalities will have to decide one by one what they're going to do leads me to think I will support it. But again, some experiences throughout my life. I lived on the Iron Range of Minnesota, and it deserves some of its reputation. And so I'll trust the municipalities. It's a good place for them to make those decisions for each place. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? I'm going to add my comments a little bit, I guess, to this with my city experience. This statute does say the municipality may permit the sale and consumption of alcohol and beverages on sidewalks, but it doesn't mean that they have to. If they choose not to, they just don't have an ordinance in place. And I remember in our days when we had the special events and the parades and whatnot, the city would always formulate some rules around those. Like when we had the car show, alcoholic beverages were permitted within the two-block area of where the car show was at, but not outside of that. So if you were outside of that as a patron, you would get picked up for an open container. And that's just state law there, or your own community's laws. So just a little insight with that. And with that, I will ask the Secretary to call the roll.
Representatives Bruner.
No.
Craig.
Pass.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hawks.
No.
Heineman.
Aye.
Marty.
Aye.
Quam.
Nay.
Rosem.
Aye.
Shane Fish.
Aye.
Soli.
Aye.
Tulson.
Yes.
Otten.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
Craig passed, yes.
Secretary, what was the vote?
Yes.
Did Craig vote?
Craig.
What did he deny? Did he pass?
Craig was a yay.
No, he passed. You need to go back to Craig. Say Craig again.
Craig.
No.
We have 13 yay and 4 nay.
We have
8. 1, 2, 3, 4.
4, 9. I have 8. 6, 7.
We have 9 yay, 4 nay.
Okay. House Bill 1092, as amended, has received an affirmative vote with a due pass, and we'll now head to the floor. Do we have any comments for the good of the committee? If not, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I have a first from Representative Consett and a second from Representative Rosem to adjourn. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved.